Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, he is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. He's the co-host of Scal and Pals. It's an all-NBA podcast. It's absolutely a must-listen with Brian Scalabrine. Subscribe to Scal and Pals today wherever you get your favorite podcast, and he joins us now. Hey, Ryan, how's it going, man? Thanks for the time.
No, I'm doing great, Jason and John. It's good to be back on with you guys.
Absolutely. So
always a pleasure.
Today, I don't know, I'm curious as to your sort of vantage point on today. It feels like it could be a bit of an inflection point for the NBA as they obviously are gearing up for the restart a month from now. Coronavirus testing begins, and obviously, you know, we've seen quite a bit of it the last couple of weeks as college football programs are inviting their athletes back on campus. We've seen it with, you know, soccer players as well. Is today, and I guess the next few days as we gear up for that return, are we at an inflection point with the NBA? Sort of how do you look at the next few days as the test results begin to come in?
I think it's important to take a step back and look at the numbers overall, putting the NBA aside for a minute. Look at the rate of positive tests just across the nation, guys. And I bring that up because I think if you extrapolate with the positive COVID-19 test rate to the NBA, you realize that there are going to be a number of players on a number of teams who test positive for the virus. That's just the reality of the situation. And in fact, you know, some of the breaking news this morning, Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN reported that one Western Conference playoff team had four positive tests for COVID-19 over the past few weeks, and then today here in Phoenix, I still live in Arizona. The Phoenix Suns, one of the local beat reporters here, reported that two Suns players tested positive for the virus, which led to the team shutting down their workouts temporarily. So I think you're going to continue to see that, unfortunately. But I do think the league has been really smart and really strategic about how they're doing the testing because there are a couple checkpoints, guys. The first is now, and I think we'll yield a few more, or probably several more positive test results this week, but then they will try to isolate and quarantine those players, get them healthy, hopefully reintegrate them with their teams, and then they'll test again constantly throughout the process, especially when they get to the bubble in Orlando, to try to make sure as best they can that a majority of the positive tests are out of the way before game start on July 30th.
Do you think the opt-out number, Ryan, Bertans, Washington, now Ariza, obviously for separate reasons, do you think that will remain low for the most part in that you'll have most of the guys going down? Is it a handful of guys? Do more emerge here over the next couple of days? What do you think?
I think more will emerge. Tomorrow is the date that the league asked, the NBA asked the players to let them know by tomorrow if they are planning on not playing. And as you mentioned, two players already, Davis Bertans from Washington and Trevor Ariza from Portland, said they were going to exercise that option. And then I think it applies also to free agents. DeMarcus Cousins, who's coming off a serious injury, he's decided not to try to re-sign with a team and participate. He's just going to focus on rehab and get ready for next season. So I think there will be more guys. And my guess is that, as far as who's playing and who's not playing, I think a lot of that will break down along competitive lines. And what I mean by that is I think guys who are on championship contending teams are more likely to play or do everything they can to play in this environment.
Right.
And guys on bubble teams like Washington, who's almost certainly not going to be one of the final eight in the Eastern Conference, or Portland, who had a lot of work to do just to get into the final eight in the Western Conference, I think you'll see a lot of those guys decide to opt out.
And then I guess the other side of that too, Ryan, is that there's not necessarily anything precluding guys from leaving the bubble once they get there. You know, if you're part of one of those teams, like let's just say New Orleans or Portland, and it becomes clear that, you know, two games in, three games in, you know, that you're not going to be able to close that gap and you're not going to make, I mean, you'll see, I mean, don't you anticipate that we'll see more guys sort of, you know, voting themselves off the island, so to speak, before it's all said and done?
I do think you will see that, and I don't think the league has any recourse. Even if they did, I don't think they would try to enforce it. And that's why, guys, I hate to beat a dead horse, but I was a little surprised that the league invited 22 teams because I think that opens up more possibilities.
No doubt.
I thought 20 was the right number. The top 8 in the Eastern Conference and the top 12 in the Western Conference all within 4 games. And I bring that up because of, you know, what about this scenario? What if the Washington Wizards, who are going to the bubble without John Wall, who's been injured and will not try to play in Orlando, and now without Davis Bertans, and who, guys, my sources tell me that Bradley Beal may not play as well. So if Washington was down there without two or all three of their best players, and they lose their first two games, well, they still have to play 6 more games. So if Washington loses two and Brooklyn and Orlando win their first two hypothetically, then Washington's eliminated, and how do you think the last 6 Wizards games are going to look? Same with the Phoenix Suns in the Western Conference. That's why I thought 20 was the right number of teams to bring, unless you wanted to just do 16 and go right to the playoffs. And, I worry a little bit about what some of those games are going to look like, as you mentioned, when teams bow out of the playoff race.
Well, to that point, the names are going to get out now, right? Like Woj just talked about, and it's right now it's unnamed. And back in the, you know, a couple of months ago, it was different. The Lakers guys, we didn't know the names, but that was a different time. Now you don't you want it? Don't we have to know, Ryan, even if you're a front office guy? Because now you're going to have your team playing against guys. And now it seems where that might have been a privacy issue before, I guess is what I'm getting at, Ryan. Now don't the names have to? Because for the public knowledge, for those players' confidence, it's got to come out whether you're positive or negative, doesn't it? And ultimately will, but you've got to have it.
I understand
it, right?
Your point, but I don't think it can come out per HIPAA laws, per the medical disclosure laws. Or let me put it this way. As a team executive, you would not want that out there. I understand what you're saying, but I think what the league would say is with the protocols they put in place, with the frequent testing, and with the requirement that players isolate and self-quarantine, that it shouldn't matter if you tested positive at one time. I imagine they're worried about the privacy aspect and also about any potential stigma that a player would test, who would test positive,
sure,
even though this is a very widespread virus. So I think what the league will say is, look, we don't want those names out there, and we put protocols and checkpoints in place to make sure that anybody who tests positive is taken care of, and they have to pass a test or a series of tests before they can re-enter competition. And if everybody follows those guidelines, that should keep everybody healthy and also keep the guys who test positive relatively anonymous.
We are, of course, talking to Ryan McDonough, Radio.com, Sports NBA Insider. Catch him on Scal and Pals. It's an absolute must listen. As a, you know, as a former team exec, Ryan, in terms of conversations that, you know, you feel like you would have to have, I mean, what do you imagine, to the extent that players are leaning on, you know, front office to sort of help guide them through the next few weeks? I mean, what would you tell, you know, the members of your organization, you know, who may or may not have trepidation about this? I mean, I'm sure it's something that you've thought about, and I'm sure it's conversations that are, you know, having to be had across the league. What do you imagine those conversations sound like right now?
Yeah, I think it's important to keep in mind that these are very personal decisions for everybody involved. Davis Bertans made his decision yesterday not to participate more for medical and financial reasons. Trevor Ariza made his decision for family reasons. And I think any of us who have kids or just a family period understand, especially the family part of it, not wanting to put your family at risk. And guys, think of the sacrifice for the Toronto Raptors. I'll bring them up because they're an extreme example. They are already in the state of Florida. So if they play to the NBA Finals, assuming the games go as scheduled, they will be in Florida basically for 4 months? Is that, if my math is correct? They'll be there for part of June, all of July, all of August, all of September, and then into October. That's a big sacrifice, and that's a long time to be away from your friends and family. And keep in mind that very well could happen for Toronto. They're currently the second seeded team in the Eastern Conference. So, if somebody's not willing to make that sacrifice for whatever reason, whether it's financial or especially if it's personal or family related, I think everybody will understand and respect that. And it seems like the league is adamant that they will honor players' wishes if they decide to not participate.
You know, I think the general sort of barometer of success is just simply concluding the season with a champion. Do you think that we get there, Ryan? And I guess within that, you know, what are the other sort of metrics of success, you know, that you think the NBA might sort of define this next, you know, few months by?
I think you nailed the first one, and by far the most important one, is completing the season and crowning a champion. There are obviously historical reasons to do that. There are financial reasons as well. And I think, guys, the league's going to do everything it can to try to make sure that happens. Now, the doomsday scenario, and the one that neither I nor anybody I've talked to has a good answer for, is what happens if a number of players on one team, especially a contending team, test positive at the same time and are not able to play? Then what happens? You know, if that happens to a bunch of Milwaukee Bucks or LA Lakers or LA Clippers, that's a very difficult scenario. Honestly, I don't know what the league would do. I think, unfortunately, they may have no choice but to suspend the season or cancel it if that happens. But what the league is saying is that they're full steam ahead and they're going to do everything in their power to try to prevent that, and then just hope that when the players get in Orlando, once they do test negative on entry, or even if they test positive and have to be quarantined, once they're reintroduced to the group, that they're cautious, that they're diligent, and even if it's not 100% negative test rate, that the vast majority of players do test negative and therefore allow the games to be played, starting in late July and continuing even into October.
Does losing Ariza change the way you feel at all about Portland's chances to catch the Grizzlies, to catch up? We realize they're a veteran team that looks like they're going to get Collins and Nurkic back. Is Ariza that big a piece that you'd look at that one and say, man, that really hurts them? Was shooting 40% from three this year.
Yeah, that's important, guys. I know Trevor Ariza pretty well. We had him 1 year. I was with the Phoenix Suns. He's a great guy. He's obviously a family man. And I didn't think he played very well in Sacramento for the Kings. And then I thought, I found a new gear when he got traded to Portland and did have a big impact. So I think that is a significant loss for the Trail Blazers. You mentioned the questions they have with Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins coming back from injury. And now, with Ariza injured, they're pretty thin on the wing. Keep in mind, this is a team that a year ago lost Mo Harkless and Al Farouk Aminu in free agency, so they didn't have a ton of wing talent in depth. They're a backcourt and frontcourt heavy team, so I do think the loss of Ariza has a significant impact on Portland and could potentially help Memphis hang on to the eighth spot and get into the playoffs.
You mentioned Phoenix and being a part of that, and so I'm going to include them, but I'd understand too if you pick them. But between them, Sacramento, Memphis, and the Pelicans, all teams in the West, obviously young teams that have got key pieces, right, and are just looking to all put it together. If you picked, who's in best position of those squads? Which would you take first in terms of teams that over the next couple of years here really could be competing at a high level and maybe for a championship?
I like New Orleans and Memphis. I like those two teams. I think they both have young stars in the top two picks in the draft last year. Obviously, Zion Williamson with the Pelicans and Ja Morant with the Grizzlies. And, they have a lot of depth of young talent, too, with Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark. Our guys we had in Phoenix, Anthony Melton and Josh Jackson, starting to emerge. So I like the young talent and depth on the Grizzlies. And also, with the Pelicans, it's hard not to like what Zion did in limited action. And then I think the depth there, with Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram made it the All-Star team for the first time this year. So I think those are two teams to keep an eye on. But as you mentioned, there's a lot of young talent in the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah.
Sacramento has a couple of young studs. I'm biased toward Phoenix because I helped bring in some of those guys.
Absolutely.
with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, but they have a lot of young talent as well. So you guys know that the conference is brutal. It has been and will continue to be, and I think that's one of the things that makes it so tough is you have the veteran playoff teams that are in the top six or seven this year, and then you have all the young up-and-coming teams with Memphis and New Orleans included in that group.
Yeah, we're talking to Ryan McDonough, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider here on Scal and Pals Radio.com. It is must listen if you are an NBA and basketball fan. You know, I think it's interesting this time, the NBA was among the first leagues to shut everything down, in March when Rudy Gobert tested positive, and they're coming back, and it seems like they've pretty much been in lockstep, the players, the sort of leadership, whereas in baseball it has been an unmitigated disaster with Rob Manfred and the way they've looked, and I know it's different, but how do you believe, I guess, history will look upon Adam Silver for the way that he has navigated? And again, we haven't started back yet, but it seems like it's been pretty smooth, relatively speaking. How do you think history will look upon Adam Silver for the way that he has handled all of this?
I think it'll look on him extremely well for his leadership, first and foremost. As you guys remember, he was the first commissioner to act and decide to shut down the league when Rudy Gobert tested positive in Oklahoma City. And, he did not have the approval from all 30 teams to do that. He did it, and all 30 teams lined up behind him in the name of, player health and safety, and it was absolutely the right thing to do. And then other leagues followed suit. So I think for that, guys, and also for the relationships he's developed with the players, especially the star players in the league, starting with Chris Paul, Hall, who's the president of the Players Association, and Michelle Roberts, who's the head of the Players Association on the executive side. I think part of the reason that it's not really contentious is that there's been dialogue the entire time between the NBA and the Players Association. They've discussed a number of ideas. Adam Silver's style, his management style, is to make the NBPA partners in those discussions. And so I think because of all that, it's less adversarial. There are less surprises. And I think that's why you see relative harmony in the NBA, especially when you compare it to the blood feud that's going on right now in Major League Baseball.
The question I got to ask you, Ryan, as a front office guy, as a guy who's been involved in some drafts and obviously has had some high picks in them, if you're Golden State and you get the one pick, there's a question over at ESPN about who you take. Have you looked? Are you dead set on LaMelo? Would Wiseman be the guy for Golden State at number one? Would you go for another scorer like Anthony Edwards? Who would you take if you're Golden State and you do get the one pick?
Those are the top three consensus guys you mentioned, and that's the case for most of the teams I talked to around the league. Mm-hmm. I think that honestly, the Golden State scenario is so unique that I think if they get the number one pick, they'll try to trade it to try to reset at a championship level next year, bringing Klay Thompson and Steph Curry back healthy with a revitalized Draymond Green. They also made the deal at the deadline with Minnesota with D'Angelo Russell going to the Timberwolves. They have a Timberwolves 2021 first round pick that is lightly protected and could be a lottery pick as well. So my guess is that Golden State takes one or both of those picks and tries to load up the wagon next year, and then becomes obviously which team trading in for the pick, which team gets it and who do they want in the draft. I think that's a fascinating conversation, but I can't remember a team that's less likely to hang on to the number one pick if the balls do bounce the Warriors' way than Golden State, and my guess is they would attempt to trade it to try to rebuild at a championship level as soon as next season.
Makes a lot of sense.
Hey, Ryan, this was great stuff as always,
man.
We appreciate the perspective. Thank you.
Anytime, guys.
Yep. He is Ryan McDonough, radio.com, sports NBA insider. Catch him on Scal and Pals. It's a must-listen for sure for NBA fans. So,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.